Want more stories in your life without adding to your TBR? That's where Audible comes in. I use it for the original novellas, the Plus catalog like Deanna Reborn's Veronica Speedwell series, and those audiobook sales that you can beat. Right now, Audible has a special offer for new and returning members. Click the link in the show notes to see what deal you'll get and start listening today. Welcome to the What You Read Next podcast. In this podcast, your host, Lori Amin, will interview published authors to chat about their work, journey to getting published, and their book recommendations. If you share a passion for books and always looking for your next read, then join us. Hi, Maria. Welcome to What You Read Next podcast.
Hi, Laura. How are you doing?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm awesome.
Awesome. So tell us a little bit about yourself.
So I'm Maria. I'm the author of Love in English. I live just outside New York City. And I'm just a regular gal. I think the most interesting thing I can talk about recently, because, you know, we're recording this in strange times, is that in order to like avoid some of the craziness in life and in the news, I've been playing a video game called Red Dead Redemption, and I'm pretty sure that's the most interesting thing about me right now. I'm like totally living in that world. So.
Oh my gosh, I love this. Yeah, I was going to ask, I feel like this should be a standard question of what hobby or what thing have you taken on during the pandemic? You know, like, so I love
it had been years and years, by the way, since I'd played a video game. So it's not like I'm a gamer, but yeah. I was looking for something really story-based, and it's actually Red Dead Redemption 2. There was another one. I haven't played that one, but this one, it's like, I am living in that world. Like, if you look at my Twitter bio right now, it's Saint Denis, which is a city in this game. Like, that's where I am right now.
Oh my gosh. That's amazing. So I take it that you're just like, you're just living this world. And this is like, is what's going, is giving you some peace and some mindfulness.
It's giving me my own heartbreak because A, I'm not that great at it. And B, it's a very, there's a lot of stuff to feel in the game, but it's better than what's going on in, you know, the actual world. So I'll take it.
I agree. I love this. So tell us what inspired you to become a writer.
That's a good question. I think, like a lot of writers, I began as a reader. You know, I remember the joy very early on. I mean, since before I could read and my mom would read me stories. But then, you know, once I began to read for myself, just this fully immersive, fantastic way of thinking about the world in new ways and, you know, getting another experiences. And so, and then, you know, once you're in school, if teachers react positively to you, English is my second language. So sometimes I was able to communicate in writing in ways that maybe I wasn't able to, or I was too shy to communicate in speaking. And so when I got that positive reinforcement, you know, from teachers and then later in college from professors, like, oh, this essay is really good. You know, I really like this. It made me think like, wow, this, I want more positive reinforcement. So that was probably the the birth of it.
So did you read in English primarily, or did you read in Spanish? I'm assuming Spanish is your first language. It's mine too.
Spanish is my first language. I went to school for 2 years in Argentina when I was little, and we lived mm-hmm. there. And so at that time I would read in Spanish. Mm-hmm. Now I find, you know, once I did, I've done the bulk of my schooling in English. And so I find that I read more in English.
I understand. Yeah.
But I can read in Spanish.
Yeah, yeah. I can read in Spanish. I went to school. I'm from Puerto Rico. So I grew up and I went to a bilingual school. So we read both in English and Spanish. And so for school, I read mostly Spanish, I think. But somehow I think my sixth grade teacher, she had a reading challenge. And so she encouraged us to read as much as we can. And it was English class. So I discovered Babysitter's Club and Sweet Valley High. And so that became my passion for reading, was through that. So even though Spanish is my first language and I can understand it, I can talk about it and I can adapt pretty well. And I can tell which accent's coming from, where you're coming from, all those different things. Reality is that I prefer reading in English. And that's just like something I think, because that's where I found my escape. And I kind of identify with the fact that the writing gets so much better because you read so much, like language and vocabulary. Like it may not look like you may, when speaking it may be different, but at the same time, like reading, I think help with the writing.
Yeah, for sure.
So So tell us, what was your journey to get that first book published?
Well, so it was long and windy. I actually have a diary entry from when I was 12 that says, most of all, I want to be a writer. Mm-hmm. But then it took, you know, a couple of decades to get there. Because I did grow up, you know, I was a new immigrant. We were poor, you know, just didn't have a lot of financial resources. And so I had a very hard time understanding and envisioning what the straight line would be between this dream of like something that only mythical people did, mm-hmm. and like finding my way to actually doing this as a job. And so it just took a long time of kind of going around in circles and trying to get information. And then finally, actually, once I began to talk a little bit more about my own story, I was undocumented as a kid. And so that was something that I kept hidden for a while. And once I started to feel like I could share that story, in my first piece was an essay that I published, but you know, that sort of became the way in telling this thing that I had kind of kept down and mm-hmm. closed from other people is how I eventually found my way to like making my number one dream come true. So it was quite a life lesson.
I love this. And so talk to us about the writing process. Do you follow an outline? Do you see where the story leads you? Like what's the process like? It looks like for you?
Yeah. So at heart, I'm a pantser, you know, that whole like, because I get an idea and I fall in love and it is just the best idea I've ever had and it needs to get written right now. And I start writing and usually around chapter three, and it just flows and it's amazing. But usually like around chapter three, I'm like, oh, I have no idea what happens next. Like I have an idea of where I'm going to end up maybe, but I have no idea what happens next or who these characters really are. And so over time, I've developed the practice of then going back and creating an outline, more like a beat sheet almost, of like, mm-hmm. this happens and this happens. Here's the low, here's the high. So I've sort of found that I, even though my spirit wants to be a pantser, in order to get things done, I need to be an outliner, a plotter, so to speak.
Yeah, I think it's just like a magic. You know, you get the idea, you get to go for it, and then just have a loose base idea of like what may just happen. You know,
yeah.
So you don't have to write the white page syndrome. Like, you know, there's nothing to
yeah,
write.
Yeah. Like what now? Yeah.
Yeah. So you wrote a YA novel. Was it always a dream to write YA, or did you dabble into other genres, or just like, you know, what inspired you to write YA?
Yeah, no, that's a good question. Initially, so this novel began its life as a YA novel. It was always going to be a YA novel, Love in English, the one that's coming out. But my first novel, The Secret Side of Empty, actually did not begin as a YA novel. I hadn't read a lot of YA. You know, I read YA growing up, obviously, and then hadn't really kept up with what was going on. And I'd read Twilight and, you know, like the really cool hot books, but I don't know that I'd really delved into all of the amazing things that were being done in YA. So I originally, it was inspired by my life, events that happened, like I mentioned, being undocumented and stuff. And so I originally wrote it as nonfiction, as memoir. Mm-hmm. And so it took a while to understand that it just wasn't the time to write that. I didn't have the right distance. I didn't have the right lens, and that fictionalizing it and bringing it up to the present was the best way to go. And then of course I started really reading YA voraciously, and I was like, oh my goodness, like the things that are being done now in YA literature, mm-hmm. Is just fantastic. Like I'd be honored to be able to be in this group. So it is. And I do feel that honor. Like there's something so fresh and fantastic about that time of life when you're like open to things and you're like crafting the path you want to take. And so I just really love that, you know, adolescence, that time of life, even though I know a lot of YA novels are read by other adults who feel like I feel about YA, but there's just something really special about books for that time of life, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I feel like, I don't know, I feel like there's a renaissance for YA. There's like, there are more risk takers, there's more ideas, there's more diversity, there's more different opportunities for you to get to know a different place or character. And so I think it's like you're in the right space and the right time where, you know, a lot of magic is happening right
A
now.
lot of magic is happening. Yeah. And I mean, and some incredibly talented writers writing NYA. Like it's an honor to be among them. And just, you think you've read like the coolest thing you've read, and then the next one comes along, and you're like, oh my goodness, this is amazing too. So it's a good time.
It is a good time. So tell us about Love in English, what it's all about, like what, you know, why we should pick it up.
Aw. So it does tell the story of a girl very much like I did not speak English when I first came. She moves to the US as a teenager and doesn't speak English. And so there's a lot of kind of exploration of what it takes to acclimate to a new society, and a lot of that exploration is done through language. Like, who are you if the things that you know how to say, or the way that you know how to express yourself, is sort of not available to you in that moment? And so that's kind of that's the question that I explore. That's a question that I've lived with a lot in my life. But then there's also like a lot of fun, just like fun high school stuff. There are boys, there are two in particular that she sort of will she or won't she with them. There's like 80s rom-coms. It's just a fun light book set against the backdrop of what it's like to be new in the United States.
So talk to us about what that experience was like for you, like for the, you know, for the character, but for you, like what it was like to just be brand new to the United States and not knowing the language and not knowing, you know, the experience, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I have very strong memories. I was younger than the character is. She comes over at 16. I came over when I was 8. But I have memories. They put me in the third grade, and I just remember sitting in a room with a teacher teaching in English and kids, speaking in English, because it was a little school. There was no ESL in that school, and thinking, am I always just going to sit here and wonder what's going on? Like, I can't believe I have no way to ask for the simplest things. And so it was very isolating and scary. But then over time, as I, obviously I picked up some English, right? As I did, I began a love affair with it, like a fascination, because I can look at it from the outside and be like, oh, that's weird. That makes no sense. Why is it structured that way? Or how come there are two words to say the same thing? And so it became, over time, it became something that I really wanted to master and understand. And that's been, like a lifelong thing. Just today, yeah, earlier today, I was rereading a book that had a four-letter word, HASP. HASP in it. And I didn't know what it meant. And I had to look it up, and I'm like, how can it be that I have, read so many books and like made English my life's work, and I didn't know this four letter word. So the adventure continues.
I feel like, you know, I'll be honest, English is like such a tough language to learn because it
Yes.
doesn't make sense. There's no rhyme or reason. Like, I don't know, Spanish, Italian, I've learned French, and those are easy to learn because you know the rules. They're like tell you what it looks like. Here's what expectations, here's the verb, you know, present tense, past tense, perfect, you know, all this stuff. But there's a rhyme or reason why. But English, it does not make sense.
Does not make sense. There's a lot of that in the book. Like, why dough and tough? Why are they spelled exactly the same except for the first letter, but they sound completely different? It's just, there's so much stuff like that in English. So I think anybody who's kind of like a word nerd will get some giggles out of the book, because there's a lot of looking at English with fresh eyes.
I love this. So, did you do any research, or was this something from your experience?
I mean, I tapped in a lot to my own experiences, a lot of my own memories. Sometimes I'd like call my mom and say, hey, this word, does this make sense to you? Because she learned English later in life, so she'll still sometimes like have questions that I may no longer have. And then there are other there's one of the characters kind of collects words that mean things that are happy throughout the book, and we learn what they are at the end. And so for those that were in other languages besides Spanish, those I did some research on. So that was fun.
Well, that sounds like fun. I feel like that sounds like for word nerds or linguistics, you know, people who love that, like they would love this book for that reason. And you're like, you know, diamond to
be passionate. I hope so.
Yeah. So what are you working next?
So this contract that I have is for 2 books. So I don't think I'm quite allowed to talk about the second book yet, but the second book is very much in the works. It should be out early 2022. It's gonna have some, I mean, I think it'll appeal to the same readers that that Love in English will appeal to, but it'll be an entirely different story and new characters, and I'm super excited about it. So more on that soon, hopefully.
That's really exciting. I love this. So now let's talk some books. Joe, I don't know if you've been reading because you've probably been playing video games or trying to survive. Have you read a book over the past, I would say, like 5 years? You know, it's just that you can't stop gushing about, you can't stop thinking about, or just like basically like that's something that I'm like, I'll recommend.
For sure. I have definitely escaped into books as well. The video games have not lured me completely away. I'm currently rereading a book that I really love. It's called I'm Not Dying With You Tonight by Kimberly Jones and Gilly Siegel. They're actually doing my launch event with me. And so I thought, well, let me have it fresh in my mind. It came out in 2019. It's been a while since I read it. And I'm reminded of everything that I love about it. I mean, it's real and the character development is beautiful. And it was a New York Times bestseller. So obviously, you know, other people agreed. So that's cool. That's what I'm reading right now. And then in terms of like the last, however long, probably in the last year, the book that has most blown my mind, besides this, I'm Not Dying With You Tonight, which is awesome. I read Red Hood by Alana K. Arnold. Mm-hmm. And that was like, sometimes you read something and you're like, this is just next level. That book was that for me. So I love that. I'm recommending it to absolutely anyone who will listen.
I love this. I'm probably going to buy it right now.
So good.
Thank you. So tell us where you can find me online.
Where to find me online? So probably the best place I'd say is my website. It's Maria E. Andrew with a U at the end, MariaEAndrew.com. There's a kind of an email list that you can sign up for. And I'm actually kind of a little neglectful in emailing. So you're not going to hear a ton from me, but if there's something cool going on like that launch or things like that, that's the best way. I am on Twitter. I'm sort of sporadic on Twitter. Sometimes I'm very on and sometimes I'm not. And there I'm writer side of M, writer like the person who writes, WRITER side of M. And then I'm just Maria E. Andrew on Instagram. I'm sort of on Facebook, but I'm really never there. So better not even to send people there.
That's okay. I feel like Facebook is just kind of like a weird place to hang around right now. So it is okay.
Literally only my high school friends do I still see there. Every once in a while I'll log back in. I'll be like, oh, hi. Yes, your baby's cute. Goodbye. And then that's the end of it.
Yeah, pretty much. I agree. So yeah. Thank you, Maria, for being on the show.
This is fantastic. Thank you so much, Laura.
If you enjoyed this podcast, feel free to share with friends, subscribe, rate, and review the show. This is the easiest way to support this podcast. Once you connect with fellow romance readers and make new friends, get weekly book recommendations, attend monthly meetups, then join our Patreon community. You can join at whatreadnextblog.com/Patreon. Romance lovers, check out Queen Bee Reads Etsy shop for cute and comfortable bookish apparel. The shop also features social justice apparel and fun items from some of your favorite TV shows like The Schitt's Creek and The Office. Use code WHATTORE10 to save. Visit whatreadnextblog.com/QueenBeeReads. What to Read Next podcast is part of the Frolic Podcast Network. Discover new podcasts to love on frolic.media/podcast. Thank you so much for listening and have a great day. Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers? What to Read Next podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always in the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new. Please visit whatreadnextblog.com/sponsorships to learn more or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship or package for you. Thank you much for listening. Your next great reader is waiting for you.